Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny.
Mention It All. A Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, bro.
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol. Now go to sleep, we.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld.
How we doing? How we doing? It feels like it shouldn't be Tuesday.
Yeah. Like
that's how I'm feeling.
I never feel this way for the most part, but I feel like this week is long already and it's right. Tuesday.
I think that's the thing is like when the week feels long, but it's like Wednesday or Thursday, you're like, okay, we're kind of over the hump. But when the week already feels long and it's only Tuesday, it's like, no, we actually have a really long way to go.
Yeah. How do we speed it up?
I don't know. I had like kind of a stressful morning because I was... No, it's fine. It ended up fine. I was like feeling a little under the weather yesterday. So I went and got a COVID test this morning just because I was like, I don't know. Like I want to be sure. And I tested negative. I like got my results back. But it was just the kind of thing where it's like, I had to go and like wait in line first thing this morning. And like randomly the testing center that's like closest to where I live is in Times Square. So it was 9 a.m. this morning and I'm like standing next to the fucking M&M store with like,
honestly, I would have gone in after
with all of these like tourists and stuff. It took like a little longer than I expected. And we had like a 10 a.m. meeting. So I just barely made it home. I was like, oh, what a mess. But I got my negative test back. So I'm
yay.
Like, now I'm feeling like I'm in the clear. I still feel like a little gross, but at least it's not COVID.
Yeah. You sound a little nasal, but as long as you're good.
Well, that's good. That's rude, but
is it?
I have a little bit of a cough. Like I was feeling a little achy. So, you know, you never know.
I drove by a really long line of cars last week and I literally rolled down my window and I was like, what is this for? Cause I needed to know. And the woman was like,
giving out free
pizza? Yeah. I was like, what pizzas? The fuck is this? And she literally goes for COVID testing. I was like, bye. And I like literally didn't even wait for her to finish. And I like rolled up my window and kept driving.
You're like, so there's not free food.
So nothing's in it for me. Okay.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm glad people are getting tested.
I know. Right. At least the line was long.
Okay. We're talking about Potomac Below Deck Med today. We've also been getting some fun little social media glimpses of this All-Stars show that's being filmed at Bluestone Manor. There was like this morning, Jill Zarin posted a selfie of herself where in the background you could see like Dorinda's head and like, I think Taylor Armstrong, like peeking out the side. It's just funny how like we all know they're there and they know that we know they're there, but like, I don't know. It feels like a little more under the radar than last time when they were in Turks and Caicos, just posting like swimsuit pics all week.
Yeah. The only thing I noticed in Jill's selfie was her sunglasses. Cause I really liked them.
And oh, those then like I had reflective to, like, Dior aviators.
Yeah. And then I had to like zoom in and I saw Dorinda. Cause you know,
yeah.
Priority.
And like Vicky posted a picture with Brandy and Tamara like in bed together.
Yeah, I'm
like,
that selfie.
This is going to be a wild ride.
that brought me back to their Mexico trips. And I was like, oof, if Brandy was there originally, that would be something. She should have been on OC.
I feel like we forget that she was like fame adjacent before. Like, I feel like she made sense for Beverly Hills more when she was first cast than like now. It seems a little random.
Yes.
No shade, but okay, let's talk about Potomac. So this episode we get the shady return of Miss Dorothy, who I don't know if we've seen her at all this season. Not very much, if we have.
We've seen her cardboard cutout.
Right. Yes, of course. She's always there.
There.
She's an imposing presence, whether she's physically in the room or not. But so she's in town for music video week. And I totally sympathize with Candace when she's like, yeah, she's supposed to help me like get through this week smoothly, but she's making me more stressed. And like, that's how it always is with family. It's like being home for a week to rest and recharge is never as restful as you want it to be.
Right. And it's the same thing for me. Like, what did she want? What was her mom supposed to do to help? You know, like if she doesn't have an actual job to do for the music video, of course, she's just going to kind of ask questions and observe and see what's going on and like stress you out.
And of course,
kind of like what her husbandger is doing.
Of course, she does so in a way that's like, you know, super helpful and not at all messy or anything. You know, Dorothy and Candace, you know, they're like,
yeah,
their relationship just stresses me out.
We will get to the photo. We will get to the video shoot because I feel like I need to unwind on that.
So let's unwind with Giselle teaching Grace to drive in this parking lot. This is like an exact memory that I have, like my mom teaching me to drive in a parking lot. And I totally feel for Giselle. It is stressful. It's rough that Jamal's not really around to help out with this because it is, you know, a stressful thing.
Yeah. But thankfully he left the Gucci car because what else would you want to learn to drive in?
That Gucci Fiat. It's so cute.
Her driving is like, should be a PSA to like all 16-year-olds who just got their permit, where it's like, it's not as easy as it looks. Like, you really need to like know what you're doing and take your time and practice and care for the other people that are driving around you.
When she almost hit the cameraman, I'm like, no, this should have been like home footage. Like they don't need to be like risking the crew's life.
That's fourth wall that I love and appreciate. Yes. Seeing when Giselle was like, watch the cameraman. He was also standing directly in front of the car though. So like,
right. He was really putting his life on the line for that. Okay. So then we have Ashley goes to see her family, which is her mom and Uncle Lump, who love to see Uncle Lump. And she's talking about her prolapsed uterus, which, you know, the human body is beautiful and all of that. Mm. I don't know if I need to hear about that or like if Uncle Lump necessarily needs to hear about that, but you know, I'm glad she's walking in her truth.
Yeah, she did say that she's aware that she shares like those things with her.
She's like, we're family. We share everything. And I'm like, that doesn't mean your uncle needs to know about your like stuff, your parts.
Side note, her TikToks are
they're so fire. Good.
She just joined TikTok
like 2 weeks ago, and every video is like on her rooftop deck dancing to like Doja Cat or something similar. And she's like clearly sort of just getting the hang of like using TikTok, but the actual dances and stuff are like quite good.
Yes.
I'm happy. Good. It's fun because like of the housewives and Bravo Labs that use TikTok, some of them are better than others, but most of them aren't like dancing. So it's kind of a fun little different like angle. Like most of them are doing like the trending sounds or whatever, where they're like lip syncing to stuff, but like her Ashley dancing to Doja Cat. Also, she and Doja Cat look like they could be cousins or something.
Yeah, That's true. Some similarities.
I wonder if Dojo watches Bravo. That would be fun.
I feel like there's more celebrities who watch Bravo than, like, even though we are aware of a lot that do, like, I feel like it's everyone's safe space.
No, I think a lot of celebrities watch Bravo, and there's like the ones that are really public about it. Like, obviously we know Rihanna, and like Sarah Paulson loves Bravo, like Jennifer Lawrence. But I feel like there are probably others who just like enjoy turning it on, even if they're not like super fans.
We know, but Miley's a big fan.
Oh yeah, Miley's a fan. Did I say Jennifer? I did say Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
I think like Anne Hathaway maybe likes Bravo. You know, like there are definitely, you know, what?
Dylan, you know how you've been posting a lot about Chrissy Carlson Romano's like journey?
Oh my God. Yeah.
And you just said Anne Hathaway. So I saw a video the other day where Chrissy Carlson Romano posted that she didn't get the part of Mia Thermopolis and Princess Diaries because of Anne Hathaway.
That video. Laugh. Oh my God. That video. If you haven't looked at Chrissy Carlson Romano's YouTube channel, it is unhinged because she just does post these videos walking backwards that are like full clickbait about her like former career. And when she says,
listen,
she
lost, even Stevens was a big deal, you know,
when she says she lost that role to Anne Hathaway, she didn't actually audition for that role. Anne Hathaway just got it and she didn't. It's like, what? But you know, maybe Chrissy Carlson Romano can be cast in opposite Ashley in one of Michael Darby's new films.
I would maybe go see that, but
I want like a better explanation of what Michael actually wants to do in the film industry, because I feel like, you know, they're talking about him like producing films, and then it's like, oh, like Ashley's like, oh, and like maybe he would make me the star of the movie. And it's like, are you just looking to like invest some money in movies and like get your name on stuff? Or like, are you literally going to be like developing projects and stuff? Because if you're going to like cast Ashley in a movie, I'm like, what is this? What's the point? Is this just a storyline? Like,
yeah, like I appreciate people's like passions and them wanting to do new projects. I actually think that's really cool, but I totally agree with what are the details, because that's almost him saying, I want to produce movies. Reminds me of me tomorrow being like, I want to be an astronaut. Like, I feel like I could do that.
Yeah. And I think there are ways for people with money to just sort of get involved peripherally in the entertainment industry, where it's just like, oh yeah, I'm like investing in insert project or whatever. But like, it seems like he is wanting to be more on the like creative side. And that seems random. Like, I guess he wants to be the next Randall Emmett or something. Which, wow. I don't know if that's like fully a compliment, but
I don't know.
Uncle Lump, basically Uncle Lump just wants Ashley to be careful about getting, you know, into another business venture, because who can forget Oz, that restaurant
with the kangaroo sliders. Yeah, and they sold like kangaroo. Yeah.
Who's eating emu?
Oh my gosh. I can't even think about that.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology, so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Well, honestly, another business venture that's doing well, we think, is Robbins, because her and Juan went to go look at warehouse spaces, which, by the way, that space looked really cool. Like, I kind of wanted to like research that a little bit more for like myself, not for like my own business, but like, I feel like I've never, it roll up. It just looked very like cool to me.
Yeah. It's kind of like a, it's kind of like a storage facility, but like kind of
a
like
little
nicer.
More. Yeah. And they help you out. You have space, whatever, but like, I feel like Robin tells Juan these details when there's other people in front of them. So he can't, I don't know if he would get mad, whatever, but like that they're $100,000 already over the budget. And if he's okay with paying $1,500 a month minimum for this space for the business.
I feel like I'm a little lost on where Robin and Juan are with this house project, because I feel like they don't talk about it that much. Like, it's not, they're not really making it a main storyline, so it's like we don't hear about it all the time, we don't see the new house that much. And then for Robin to just like casually bring up that they're $100,000 over budget, I'm like, wait, what's happening here? Like, is the house almost done? Like, I need, like, it seems strange that Juan wouldn't be like more involved. I don't know. I just like, I feel like I don't really get what's going on with that. And as much as I am Team Robin in terms of wanting, you know, her to be feeling her best and doing her best and wanting Juan to treat her, you know, the way she deserves, I'm kind of like, Robin, girl, like, what are we doing here? Like, why are we doing this with the money again? Come on.
Especially since like last episode, we saw her re-talking about what happened in their past and like going into a little detail. So like, it's something that you would think would be, they would be really on high alert, but.
Right. I would expect them to be like, to know where every penny is going when they're doing this house, you know, that kind of thing where it's like, okay, like we've set this budget and we know exactly how much we can spend. Like, you know, they should be on their like extreme couponing status right now. Like they should be very aware of how much they're spending. And so the fact that Juan seems sort of blindsided by this, I'm like, I don't love that. Like,
I always laugh like when we hear these celebrities or Bravo celebrities talk, like $100,000 over budget is not like you went to the mall to spend like $20 and you left spending $100. Like, it's a significant amount of money to be over.
Right.
Where did it go? What did you buy?
Yeah. I mean, she's saying something about, you know, wanting little upgrades here and there and like the marble floors and that kind of stuff. But like, yeah, like I just feel like with something as major as a house, and again, I've never owned a home or built a home or any of that because I'm, you know, not, I'm still a child, basically. Like, I don't get how the budget ends up being such a like imaginary number. It's like, you know how much you can spend. Like,
that's a funny word to use.
Like, don't you have a mortgage? Like, isn't there like a set amount of that it's like supposed to cost? I don't know.
But I want to know if she moves forward with the space, just because I want to know a little bit more about it.
I know.
It as
I
well.
Do like, I want her business to thrive. Mm-hmm. And it seems
apparently
like,
apparently it is.
It seems like this getting a space is like the next step in allowing her business to grow. So I kind of hope she does it. Okay. Let's talk about this music video shoot. So we hear earlier in the episode when Candace is talking to Chris, there, it seems like they only speak to each other on FaceTime now. Like, I don't know, but.
Or if they're in person, they're fighting.
Yeah. And he's always wearing an apron. So the whole concept for the video is that they're at this like drag race. There's all these fancy cars, and you know, they're like hanging out in the parking lot. So the whole video concept hinges on the fact that they need to have these specific, you know, fancy cars. And so they can only shoot the video on Friday, because that's when that's when the guys can bring the cars. I'm like, I don't know what any of this actually is. But so they get to this parking lot that's seemingly in the middle of nowhere.
Wait, and it looked like it was at the end of someone's cul-de-sac. Like, it just,
yeah, it looked like a suburban like bank branch parking lot. I was like, I don't know where we are, but I love that Candace was like the last one to arrive, because all these women just pull up to this empty parking lot and are like, what's happening?
Because it looked like she came, well, it didn't look, she came from the first part of her video, and they were also on, like, they needed to look at the time because they needed to beat the sunset, and they kept doing the countdown of like them literally running out of time. And like, she's so like in her typical, hi, oh my God. But she's like pouring her seltzer into her tumbler because she has like her lipstick on. She can't mess it up. And like, someone finally tells her the cars aren't coming. But I feel bad for her in this moment, because she did say like, this is when Chris needs to be here, because, and then she did reiterate the other night that it was not Chris's fault. It was like the team's fault that the cars didn't come, but it was like, well, he facilitated it, I'm pretty sure. But
yeah, it's like, I don't know. I don't know like all of the particulars of their arrangement, but if they have agreed that it's Chris's job to like arrange this stuff, then, you know.
Yeah. Chris is like coming in hot. He finally comes and like, he's like, I'm not going over there because I'll flip out and I'll make her, but she saw him already. So she's already like,
right. Oh my like God, she can see him across the parking lot, like looking angry in his apron. And she's already like, oh my God, what?
All of them are like, he's in his apron. He's still in his apron. Giselle made a good point. He was still in their apron, and that's actually his job. And he did not bring food for them to eat while on this set.
I know. Like, can we get some craft services? Like, seriously, they were in this parking lot for a good long time. But so before Candace even arrives to the video shoot, we have Ms. Dorothy arriving. And I believe this is the first time that Mia has met Ms. Dorothy. And she says, mm-hmm. Oh, you look great. You look like Candace's sister. How old are you? And I was taken aback when she said this. And some of the other women were taken aback when she said that, because I just can't imagine meeting anyone and asking right away how old they are, let alone a woman of a certain age. It's just not done.
No, I don't, like, someone asked me yesterday how old I was. And I was like, this is so weird. And I'm not old, but like, no, to ask a woman how old she is, I get it. Mia was doing it because like, she looks young and she was, you know, being nice, I guess, but still, it's just like, it's like an age old thing. You just don't ask a woman her age. Like
Mia seems to have a little bit of a diarrhea of the mouth type of thing, where I think she has a habit of saying things that are inherently shady or like not the right thing to say, but she says them in a way where she could go back and be like, it was a compliment, or like, I was saying that you looked good, or like, you know, a little bit later when, you know, Dorothy is basically in the mood to talk shit to anyone in this parking lot, and Mia's like picking her brain about whether or not Chris is getting paid as Candace's manager. And it's like, these two are just gonna, I feel like Mia and Dorothy need like a spinoff of their own. Cause I'm like, they're just gonna cause, you know, chaos over in the corner of the parking lot. You know, Dorothy's trying to talk shit to Karen, and Karen is like, I do not want this. Like, Candace and you and I are like barely good right now. So, like, please leave me out of it.
When Mia asked if Chris was getting paid, I was more taken back by that question. So I was like, girl, that is literally none of your business. And
it's none of Dorothy's business either. Like,
correct.
It's literally nobody's business but Candace and Chris. And I, like, you know, I feel like we're all entitled to have our thoughts about Candace and Chris's arrangement. And like, you know, I have my own questions about it. I'm not sure it seems like the best setup, but at the same time, I'm not going to walk up to Candace and be like, you're not even paying your man.
And Dorothy did say to Karen, though, we heard it when she was like, well, I didn't expect him to quit his job and become a house husband. And at that point, I was like, yo, she really is going to talk to anyone that is around her right now and talk shit in any way about this man. And like, it was just like uncomfortable. And then he got there and they were all in a line and she was like, hi, Chris. But like, they didn't like give each other a hug. It was just like, you can feel the tension there. It was like kind of uncomfortable, even just like watching it. But I don't know. Have but then you... Wendy scurried over and told Candace what Mia said. I was like, not now, Wendy. Like, she's on her video shoot.
Right. Like, as much as I appreciate the, like, bone carrier, you know, housewife thing of, like, you know, you want to start stir the pot and be a little messy. It's like, this is what you should be telling Candace, like, in a couple days when you go get drinks or something. Like, you don't need to run across the parking lot and tell. There was just too much back and forth across this parking lot. Like, I just needed them to all stay in one place, keep their mouth shut until it was time, until it was time to do the video and get it done. It was stressing me out how much conversation was happening in this parking lot. I'm like, you're here to accomplish something.
Honestly, though, the video was very cute. The scene with all the women was very, very cute.
It turned out well. It did turn out well. I just have to, before I move on to Below Deck Med, I have to ask, have you been seeing what Mia has been posting on social media at all?
No.
So Mia is one of those people where it feels like she is really going hard on Twitter and on Instagram. And basically, like, you know, she's tweeting all this stuff about Candace and Chris and Wendy. And she posted on Instagram these old Instagram screenshots of Candace's feet, because Candace was like talking about how Mia has big feet. And she was like, my feet might be big, but at least they're not crusty. And it's just one of those things where I'm like, I feel like Mia on the season is mostly doing fine. Like, she's had her issues with some of the women, but I feel like she's working well with the group. But on social media, I'm like, you need to chill out a little bit, because there's going to come a point, whether it's at the reunion or next season or something, where it's going to come back to bite you, because Candace is not the kind of person who's going to be like not caring that you have been like trying to drag her for 6 months on Instagram. Like, I feel like Mia needs to like take a little bit of a chill pill on the social media. It stresses me out when housewives are like going too hard on
online. Because the audience can quickly change, like we've seen in the past. Yeah, but actually, like, I did see someone post a picture of a foot. One of the Bravo accounts posted.
You were like, I scrolled away as fast as I could.
Yeah, but... no, I and so now I like am putting two and two together what you're saying, but I didn't like actually click the meme. I saw toes on like a heel, and I was like,
ugh. Yeah, it's just like if you want to be shady while you're like live tweeting the show or something, that's one thing, but like, you're going to be screenshotting and posting pictures of her feet from 2019. Like, it's like a little also, desperate.
People get paid big money to post their feet. So I'd be pissed if someone did that to me.
Also, like, I don't think Candace's feet look that bad, but whatever. That's not what we're here to talk about.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Okay, let's talk about Below Deck Med, because this was also a pretty explosive episode, I have to say. So we have the aftermath of Lexi versus Matt round, you know, two or three or whatever this is. As a reminder, we have Lexi using the R word to describe Matt, and saying that his mom should have aborted him. And Courtney calls Lexi the C word. And Matt, of course, is saying lots of gross stuff too. And it's a bad situation. I mean,
when they pan to the waiters all watching.
Oh my God.
I love that always. Cause it's like, what are you supposed to do?
Right. You're like, do you need your water glass refilled? Like, I don't know. I love, yeah, no, so good. But so basically the next day, Lexi goes to Sandy and is like, Sandy, like, oh my God, it's bad. Like, I was really worried that this was going to go down like it did the last time with Lexi, where she basically got to Captain Sandy first and then was able to like spin her narrative. But this time I feel like Sandy finally actually like had everybody sit down, you know, actually had everyone explain to her what happened and like hear different sides of the story. And, you know, I think I'm just glad Lexi was fired. Honestly, like it was time. It was time a while ago. And I was frustrated that Sandy didn't really like, I felt like she kind of took Lexi's side earlier in the season when that wasn't really the appropriate course of action. So I'm glad that this time it didn't happen that way.
Well, you can tell though that Captain Sandy like really does like Lexi. Like she had a hard time letting her go.
Right. But it's like when she's like, everything that you've shown me, you're a good person. And I'm like,
yeah.
But everything that everyone else has experienced with her is literally the opposite. So like, sorry, Captain Sandy, but you might have to come to terms with the fact that like Lexi is kind of like bamboozling you. Like,
so she did make a point though, when she was like, oh, why everyone I realize is bringing up Lexi first. So Malia had to even tell Sandy, they're like, because this isn't the first incident with Lexi. Like if it was the first fight they've gotten in, okay. But this is like not the first conversation we've had with you about Lexi. But they did all say, they're like, listen, we're not defending Matt. Matt was wrong last night too. And he's the one that instigated it. But when she brought in Courtney and Malia next, and the first question, Captain Sandy was like, Courtney, did you call Lexi a cunt last night? I was like, that is gold. And Courtney, like, imagine your boss having to ask you as an adult that question. And Courtney was like, yeah, but I apologize right
She's
away.
She's like, yeah, I did, but I said sorry as soon as the word left my mouth, which she did. They rolled the footage and she literally was like, you're sorry. Sorry I said it, but...
that was so good. Oh my God.
No, and
Courtney is like a good person. She is a good person.
Yeah. Of course, you know, Lexi is like not wanting to talk to anybody while she's packing. She shuts the door in Katie's face. You know,
honestly, like I would do the same. Like, why would she? I get it. You want to leave on a good note, but it's like you just got fired. The last person I want to talk to is my boss, you know, who had to.
Yeah. And also, like, when it came down to it, like, Lexi was on better terms with some people than others, but like nobody in this crew was like on her side, which was right. Warranted. Like, I don't think she deserved to have anyone on her side, but like nobody here is her friend. I'm scared that she is not going to go to the reunion.
Oh, I don't know, but
because Andy posted yesterday, he was like, he was like, if there's a Below Deck Med reunion, send me your questions. And I'm like, and I have a feeling that they're planning on doing it, but like, they don't know if everybody's going to come. And like, if Lexi doesn't show up, is there a point? I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny. I know. When she rolls her luggage out and has her AirPods in and is just like beelining to the door, that also was my favorite scene because she was like just ready to go. But that was really big of Malia to like still, regardless, she was ignoring her to get up and help her. Like Malia is good in those situations. Like,
I think Malia has like really redeemed herself this season. I'm like, yeah, I think she like seems to gel really well with this cast. You know, she seems like a solid leader.
Except
and she
for
hasn't,
one person.
She hasn't really gotten into any like pettiness. I don't know. What did you think about Katie's decision not to bring Delani back for the last two charters?
Was 150% wrong.
Okay.
Wrong. Absolutely wrong. And I'll tell you why. She didn't want to have to deal with bringing on Delaney and explaining and doing that. It had nothing to do with two charters left. Like, we can easily do it. Malia was even saying to her, like, are you sure? Like, are you short? Put her in laundry. So that way that's one
what I was
thing.
Just going to say. It's like,
you didn't have to do.
Right. It's like, even though we've established that Delaney is not really a stew, it's not like she was totally unhelpful for the time that she was there. So yeah, you can literally just have somebody doing all the laundry and then you don't have to think about her.
But here's the other situation. Sandy loves to pick and choose when she wants to be involved in things. Mm-hmm. In this situation, she, as a captain, should have 100% said to Katie, you need a third stew to bang out these last two, because she kept saying, okay, whatever's in best interest, you know, whatever's in best interest for the guests. Having a third stew is in best interest for the guests. What do you mean? Like, we all just answered your question, like, for your concern. We will now see in the upcoming charters that Katie made the wrong decision, but I knew that she did last night. So
yeah, Sandy is really, I feel like she's on a mission to make people dislike her as much as possible this season, because it was weird how she handled that situation. It's like, she has such strange ideas about like when she's going to make people, you know, step up and make decisions, but then, you know, the way let me say also
that she, it's one thing, because you can do the job with two stews, it's been done before, but this, that's if something happens, like, you know, quickly and randomly. Right. This was like in preparation for two more, so that's why I'm saying they should have, like,
oh, totally. No, I mean, like, I, right, like, I don't particularly love Delaney, but in terms of like the actual breakdown of work, there's no reason that it wouldn't have been helpful to have her there.
Did you not think they were making it suspenseful? Like, she was like slowly packing up her stuff. Like, they knew they were firing Lexi. Just like, leave her on the boat. She sends
all of her copy and paste text messages about how it was epic to meet everyone. Okay. So then the last, you know, the big last part of the episode is when Sandy sees that Dave is like limping a little bit, and she finds out that he, you know, has this bruise, and the way she reacts, the way she flips out on Malia and is like yelling at her about how she needs to tell her, I just thought it was so unprofessional from Sandy's perspective, because like,
yeah,
if you are like, from a job perspective, if Malia did something wrong, then obviously it's, you know, Sandy's right, responsibility, whatever, to like address it. But like, I just think there's never an excuse for a boss to be yelling at their employee that way.
I agree. I agree with the fact that Malia, I think, my opinion, that Malia did mess up. I think that injury 100, that is more than a bruise. Like, that should have been.
Oh, I agree. No, I totally think so too. Like, I think it's one of those things where it's like, two things can be true. Like, Malia can be wrong in how she handled the situation, and Sandy can be like wrong in that she like freaked out at her bosun. Yeah,
I think that it was extremely inappropriate to talk to Malia that way in front of Malia's
in front of her team.
Like, that's just makes her feel, you can tell she was taking deep breaths. We already know Malia and Sandy do not get, like, they just don't get along. And I think the reason, once Malia went to go put the incident report in, and that's when Captain Sandy flipped out, that was bottled up. Like, Sandy just doesn't like Malia. And so that her screaming at her, it's weird. I wouldn't have handled that well.
It's just so weird to think back to a year ago, the relationship that Sandy and Malia had last season versus now. It's like, I would love to hear them kind of unpack that a little bit at the reunion of like, what really has happened to make Sandy go from adoring Malia and seeing her as this like bright shining leadership star to clearly not trusting her, clearly being
maybe
like,
she's jealous.
It's like, it seems like she is looking for cracks in everything that she's doing. And every little thing that goes wrong, it seems like Sandy is like pinning it on Malia very like personally almost.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's like a weird leadership style. And I don't know.
Well, and as much as as much as I love Captain Lee and like, it's great to have the captains in the reunion, I just feel like they're so out of touch for what actually goes on in the season, unless they go back and watch it before the reunion. Like, I would love to hear Sandy's feedback and everything on the behavior she actually watched from right. Lexi and Matt, both sides of it. And then she would have, you know, like a different outlook. I don't know. And then maybe she can be like, even acknowledge the fact that she may be exaggerated while yelling at Malia. I don't know. But I always feel like the captains are a little lame at the reunions.
I know. Like, I want them to make Sandy like sit down and watch that first night when Lexi was like, you know, physically assaulting people. And like, I want her to say like, I messed up, I should have listened and fired her. Like, that's what I want.
I don't
but whatever.
Think that we would ever hear those words out of Sandy's mouth.
Okay, fine.
I could be wrong.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens next week. Maybe Katie will regret not bringing Delani back for the last two charters. But in the meantime, don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches, and just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter. Betches.